Waiver Wired is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet and you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
What's going on, everybody? Week 7 fantasy football season. I'm in a great mood today. I'm not really sure why, Eddie. I think maybe it's because I see you sitting in the Extra Points studio with a backdrop behind you, and it just looks so cool.
It's great being in the studio. It's a lot of fun here. It's only going to get better and better. We're very excited for you, Jen, to come visit, come hang out, come record here. But yeah, we're going to have we're going to build the EPHQ, have a hangout room, recording room. It's a lot of fun, great location. And I'm just happy to see everyone. I'm one of those people that, like, yeah, working from home has its perks, but when I get to hang out with, you know, Sal, Dave, Martin, Meatballs, whoever else comes around, Joel, it's a lot of fun. So fingers crossed you get here soon.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm definitely going to make plans to get there. Maybe we can even record a show live one day because I think it's more fun when you get to hang out. I'm kind of tired of this whole virtual situation now.
Yeah,
agreed. We live in the basic area. It's like, what, an hour drive? It's worth it to hang out with you.
Close to the beach. Can't beat that.
Hey, listen, you know what? It was a nice surprise this week. I got paid out twice by Cousin Sal. I got these nice little Venmo alerts. Mm-hmm. Once, because he so kindly for my birthday last week texted me and said, hey, I'll place any bet you want in this Astros game. I bet Framber over 5.5. It cashed. Got to pay out there. And then a bet I placed preseason, I forgot, that he placed for me just as a gift. I think it was Nolan Arenado under 35.5 home runs cash too. So I just randomly got this notification. Hey, you got a Venmo deposit. It was awesome.
Isn't that always great too when you place a bet or you do something that you forgot and then you end up like getting the benefits from way later on when it's like out of your brain. That's like kind of how I'm wearing the Yankees hat for people eventually see on our social post. And I'm like, man, like I'm not feeling great about this game. And then I remembered that I did place a bet on the Yankees to win the World Series at pretty good odds very, very many months ago. And I just kind of re-remembered this. And now I'm even like more anxious about this game later on because I do want to have the experience what you just did, which is, oh, wow, that's great to see this notification popped up that I actually won a bet I placed.
And that's the next thing I was going to bring up. So this week, Eddie, the shoe is on the other foot. Last week, if you recall, if you listened to Waiver Wired, I was nervously watching the Astros game and it was not going well. It was not going well at all. And then there was a dramatic bottom of the ninth, two out comeback, 3-run home run from Jordan Alvarez that put them up 8-7, walk off. Absolutely freaking incredible. But on the show, we had discussed Robbie Ray and how they shouldn't use Robbie Ray at all versus the Astros. And then they went and put Robbie Ray in versus Jordan Alvarez. Okay, when are these managers going to realize that lefty on lefty doesn't work versus Jordan Alvarez? It just doesn't work. The guy's on another planet.
Jen, like I could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, and I did on the last few episodes of A Minus 3 and EP. It's just like, you know, you called it 100%, and Robbie Ray was not the guy to put in there. He has not been great as of late, not been great versus your team. And I don't know why coaches, managers in baseball now do this. It's infected the entire league because it happened kind of with my Yankees to an extent. Just trust the pitch you have in there. Stop worrying about every analytic, every matchup.
Right.
And you have to let these guys play. And like you got to leave the guys in that are warm. You cannot put these starters coming in cold late in the game. They're not used to that. And
energy, momentum.
It's 100%. And look, I'm no Astros fan, but part of me was like when Aaron Jordan hit that, I was like, you know what? Good for him for like taking advantage of a dumb managerial move because it just should not be – this should not be happening. Like we're never going to see – baseball play like it was years and years ago where these pitchers would come, you know, and throw constantly day after day after day. I'm even shocked that Boone is going to let Gerrit Cole potentially get in this game later on today because I'm just shocked by that.
Well, I mean, we've
seen a lot of bad decisions.
Again, this is a football podcast, but I mean...
No, it's fine. Jen, you're one of the best, not only best fantasy football minds, but one of the best baseball followers out there too. So everyone knows what they're getting with you. It's fine.
We just have to talk a second about this situation today. And first of all, I want to know, do you want updates? Because this game's going to start while we're recording, or do you want me to shush it?
I'll eventually see it, because I do click on Twitter here and there for breaking NFL news. I'll see it. I do have my phone set up for the app when it starts. I have all my Yankees fan friends at home that will be texting nonstop, so that'll pop up. So I'll see it. To give you my thoughts on the game quickly, I don't feel great about it. I've been complaining on, again, multiple podcasts on our network. I just need to see the Yankees' offensive outburst. I know it's playoff baseball. It's a way different thing, but I'm tired of these games, they're barely scratching along 3-4 runs. You are the New York Yankees. You have the home run leader. You have guys who had great seasons. Anthony Rizzo, to name, like, had a phenomenal power hitting season. Like, I need a game where you win, 10-11-2-3. Just forget about it. I don't want to be, white knuckling the 7th, 8th, 9th inning to scrape across a run, because their bullpen's great. Ours has been as great, and I'm very, very nervous. I don't expect good things.
It's injured. I mean, I'll let you know that I did bet on the Yankees today. I don't know if that makes you feel any better or not.
Yeah, it does.
The money line, no run line. Staying away from that business. Yeah. And I took the over on 7.5. This could all backfire, but my thought is everybody's tired.
Yes.
I think that's going to affect the pitchers more than the hitters. And in reality, like, the Yankees are a much more powerful team. Like, the Guardians, they get it done. They hit timely, but they don't hit hard. And Aaron Civale, I mean, really, he has an ERA of nearly 5. He gives up a ton of hard contact, and that's exactly what the Yankees can do. Because when they hit home runs, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have, like, timely hits, and they're all smart and bunting and moving players around. So I did bet on the Yankees today. Either way, whichever team advances, unfortunately, they're probably going to be at a disadvantage versus the Astros, who took care of business early and have been well rested. That being said, there is this new debate, like, is this new wild card playoff series worth it? Because these really rested teams, what's happening is they're falling out of rhythm.
Right.
And MLB is a game, baseball's a game that's meant to be played every day. It's a grind, but that's also how players get into rhythm. So it may be working against, I mean, this is how you see the Mets get eliminated. The Braves, the Dodgers got 111 win team got eliminated by an 89 win team. I mean, it feels...
You're spot on again. MLB, once again, has screwed up something. It just seems like every couple of weeks is a new problem that MLB creates for themselves. And this one is the scheduling. Obviously, like you said, teams coming in cold versus teams that are coming in hot. Now the weird days off in between games, which kind of created a mess in this Yankees Guardians series. They have, like, MLB, please, like, just do one thing right going forward. Like, you have to figure out these playoff schedules, because it just makes the entire very long season almost not worth it. Like, what is the point of playing 162 games if you're having these weird bullpen games? You can't get your starters in, and it's just, I don't know. They need to figure this out for next season and beyond.
All right, well, we're going to find out soon enough. I will be posting bets probably nearly daily on this and placing them. So I don't know. We'll see. It's hard to bet playoff baseball. It's really hard to bet playoff baseball, especially this year. Like, who knows? So it's just kind of to feel like you're in on the action. There's not a lot of player props, and it is a limited window of when you can get opportunities. But more announcements, a couple more announcements, and then we're going to get into the NFL news. We had our Pick'em contest again this week. It looks like Hinch is in the lead now.
Yeah.
I mean, what a turnaround from last season. This is like opposite of last year. I mean, I hung in there. I think I got 6 right this week. Again, not great, but hanging in there. I'm not loving betting this NFL season, but when you have things like the Bucks getting upset, you have Green Bay getting upset. It is really, really tricky. At least I got the Buffalo one right.
Yeah, Hinch is having a phenomenal – I mean, and so is Martin, too, who was in the lead for a number of weeks. I know Harry's doing pretty well for himself as well there. You have surpassed me. I think I am now near the bottom of the barrel, although Will Blackman, I think, is struggling as well. But, like, me and Will both played in the league, as former NFL players. We see the game a little bit differently. Maybe that's why we're both struggling. No, I'm kidding. It's just – it has a lot to do with the parity, which we've talked about. Just, like, in my dumb brain, I keep thinking certain – and this is kind of ties into fantasy too, with like certain players, name recognition, team recognition. You think they're going to be good. They're not as good as you expect. You're almost like forcing yourself, like, I'm not going to believe in the Jets. It's like, well, why not? The Jets are easily a top 7-8 team right now. And that's on me. And that's why my picks have been bad, but I will adjust.
So you guys want to get on it. You can check it out at extrapoints.com/arcade. If you win, you get $100. If you win our prop quiz, which I forgot to play this week, you get a golden hat. And then finally, other big announcement for today, you got to tune in to Spotify Live. Because I'm going to be on Mr. Lister, hosted by Dave Damashek, taking on Michael Fabiano of Sports Illustrated for a trivia contest. Guys, I'm not feeling super positive about this. I'm not sure that I'm really a trivia buff. But that being said, I will accept the challenge. I did beat Michael Fabiano in our, excuse me, Sports Illustrated Fantasy Football League this week. In fact, I didn't just beat him. I crushed him, guys. I crushed him.
Nice.
Ground him into the ground. He won't listen to this, so it's fine. So yeah, be sure you tune into that at 7 p.m. Eastern on Spotify Live if you hear this in time. Or can you rewind Spotify Live? Like, can you get them on demand?
Yeah, after the show, obviously we want everyone to tune in live. It's going to be an awesome one. I mean, you think you know some stuff and then you're put on the spot. And I've seen, you know, week in, week out of us doing the show, I've seen people kind of poop the bed in big spots. So it's going to be another great one tonight. But yes, they do a great job at Spotify. After it goes live, it does become a podcast form, which you can get on Spotify. So listen to it whenever you want, but definitely tune in live. It's a lot of fun. Great show tonight, Mr. Lister, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern.
All right, let's get to the NFL news. Okay. There's so much and it's coming out now. I feel like I should actually check Twitter to see if anything broke recently, because one of the things that happened very recently is that the Chiefs have cleared $3.5 million in cap space by restructuring Travis Kelce's contract. And so the natural question is here, who's incoming? Is it OBJ? Is it Christian McCaffrey? Mm-hmm. Is it DJ Moore? Thoughts, desires, wishes here, Eddie?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the first domino that has to fall, I feel like it's going to come from the Panthers. The Panthers have to kind of implode and just get rid of their big pieces here. I think Christian McCaffrey is probably, you know, hot ticket number one. He is one of the best players in football, and he basically, you know, it will dictate your offense going forward. And like you just said, you got to kind of check Twitter constantly, because you see a new update ever so often, whether it's the Bills. I tweeted a couple weeks ago just thinking about like the Rams, like, hey, Rams in the Super Bowl. All of a sudden now they're in the mix for getting him. You mentioned the Chiefs too, clearing space. The 49ers are now involved in them as well. And that's a team that we've been used to talking fantasy the last 2 years together. It's like their running back situation never made sense. And now you're going to get a guy who, like, he has to be the guy for Kyle Shanahan. So that one would be pretty awesome. I think the Chiefs, if they get a guy like DJ Moore, who does have speed, who is a great player, just stuck in a really bad scenario, I think would be awesome. I'm not sure if I love Odell Beckham will help the team, but obviously him still coming off the injury, he still needs a couple more weeks to get even close to, you know, doing football stuff and then kind of getting the game speed. So I think DJ Moore is the guy I like the most, but I mean, CMC by far number one, if you can afford
it. It's not even an offensive player, but we love to start rumors on Waiver Wired podcast. You can find rumors started here. Carson Wentz out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken finger. It has been announced Tyler Heinicke will be starting. You know, it's interesting. Taylor Heinicke was actually a fairly serviceable NFL quarterback. I think we all thought maybe they would even roll with him. And then they made the trade for Carson Wentz. I'm not even sure that was a clear upgrade. I do wonder if now this helps Terry McLaurin. He seemed better with Taylor Heinicke than he was with Carson Wentz, despite the amount of passing attempts Carson Wentz made. Mm-hmm. And of course, Sam Howell waiting in the wings. Again, there's a possibility he gets time too. If you're in deeper leagues or a super flex league and you want to make that stash, if you need someone right now, Taylor Heinicke is the immediate replacement for Carson Wentz.
I this is going to happen sooner rather than later. To me, putting in Heinicke is a strange move, because what you're trying to do with Heinicke, it's one thing if the Commanders were near the Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys for the division, if they can potentially get a playoff spot, you want to put in Heinicke, who's proved that he could do it. He can win games. I mean, he played pretty well in the playoffs that 1 year. But you got to put in Sam Howell. I just don't understand the point of draft. You draft a young guy, you have a young team. We talked about guys like Dotson and Robinson, who are going to be impact players down the road for them for a very long time. And you got to put in Sam Howell, a guy that, you know, he kind of slid in the draft after his last year in college wasn't so great. But the year prior to the year he was drafted, he was as good as it gets. Obviously, they had a loaded backfield with Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, but he was really good for the Tar Heels. And I think you got to put him in, because it's a lost season. It doesn't make any sense to play in a guy like Heinicke, who isn't your long-term starter, where if Howell impresses under these circumstances, he could be your guy and you got a late-round bargain. And I just don't understand why you're putting in Heinicke. But I guess in the here and now, for fantasy purposes, he's a guy that has proven he could do it. So maybe you are pretty happy about putting him in. But I think in terms of the team, you got to put in Howell.
I think for fantasy purposes, it's fine.
Sure.
He'll get you an okay floor. He shouldn't be terrible. Speaking of trades, Robbie Anderson traded to the Cardinals. Hollywood Brown not out for the year, it looks like, but out for a while. And of course, we get DeAndre Hopkins back this week. But that kind of brings up the question, should we bid on Robbie Anderson this week? We're getting this question a lot. You know, like, so they went out, they got Robbie Anderson. That signals to us there's something really wrong with Hollywood Brown. We already see there's something really wrong with the Cardinals offense, despite the fact that somehow Kyler Murray is still putting up pretty good fantasy quarterback numbers. But that may have to do more with the landscape of the quarterback position being really crappy, which we'll get more into later, which unfortunately is a theme of every single podcast so far this year. And the main question with Robbie to me is Robbie a head case? And do they need any more head cases in Arizona? Then my counter to that is maybe Robbie's the only one that isn't a head case, because somebody needed to say something about how the Panthers suck and they need to fix their offense. So maybe he's the only sane one. Of course, trading him to another team with a broken offense isn't probably going to go well either.
Yeah, I think you could look at it from the point of view of that Robbie Anderson is a competitor and he wants to win games, and obviously being with the Jets and then the Panthers and struggling with both those quarterbacks, struggling with multiple head coaches, that's never fun. I do feel for him in that regard. Can you get in the face of your wide receiver coach and scream at him? I don't think that's great. I understand sometimes players get fired up. I mean, you know, to be fair, Tom Brady does it quite a bit and we let it slide. So I feel like we should let it slide in Robbie Anderson's case. I just think in terms of depth, obviously losing Hollywood Brown, but then you're getting back Nuke and then you're getting Robbie Anderson in a trade. It does help from that stance. But I think, you know, somebody, I forgot who it was, but somebody tweeted, is it possible for like Cliff Kingsbury to be the first coach to get extended and fired in the same season? And you mentioned Kyler having a pretty good fantasy season, but it's just things aren't clicking. I did like them for the Super Bowl. I know you like them a lot too. And this division is not great. Like, you know, the Niners are all banged up. The Rams are just, they're not impressive right now unless they make some, you know, huge changes on offense. And, you know, the Seahawks are, I guess, kind of surprising, but I don't really take them as a contender. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals turn things around and were actually a good team. And I think in terms of fantasy, you know, I'm very excited to see what Nuke Hopkins could do. And I think having Robbie who could stretch the field, it may help Kyler. It may help him. He may need a guy like that, a bigger body receiver. It could be good, but I just think it's a very – they've already had enough issues off the field this year, the Cardinals, and they're going to have the camera crews in there for the Hard Knocks. I would not be shocked if this Robbie Anderson experiment does not work out.
Kyler Murray is the QB6 on the season on a points per game basis with 19 crazy. Points wow. per game. So as frustrating as the Cardinals have been, Kyler Murray has still been a fairly dependable fantasy quarterback. And that speaks more to me about the landscape of the quarterback position. Let me read to you top 10 right now. Josh Allen, we expected that.
Sure.
Lamar Jackson, we expected that. Jalen Hurts, we thought that could happen.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, all those are good names. They're all young names, right? They're all young names. Then Jared Goff, Geno Smith, Justin Herbert, and Tua rounds up number 10 on a per game basis. Of course, you haven't been able to start Tua for a few weeks, but just to give you an idea of the landscape. Meanwhile, on a per game basis, Tom Brady is all the way down at number 16. Russell Wilson down at number 20. Aaron Rodgers down at number 24. Now, let me run these numbers again and just talk about the last 3 weeks. It's going to be very different. You're going to see Matt Ryan up there. You're going to see Tom Brady up there. I mean, it's been, this is just to prove the point that it's been difficult to week 4 to 6. Okay, on a points per game basis, here are your leading quarterbacks for the past 3 weeks. Josh Allen remains. Patrick Mahomes now number 2. Joe Burrow number 3. Geno Smith still at number 4 despite putting up a dud this week. Jalen Hurts. Tom Brady makes an appearance. Jared Goff. Kyler Murray. Kirk Cousins. And Matt Ryan, who is my top quarterback streamer for this week, which we'll talk about more shortly. Now, we were just talking about Robbie Anderson to the Cardinals. I want to talk about one Rondale Moore. And that's someone that I know you and I both liked in the preseason.
Yeah.
He's now like basically any hope of Greg Dortch coming back. That was just temporary because it is Rondale Moore time. He's seen 20% of the targets the past 2 weeks and he's played a career high in snaps for the past 3 weeks, including having more snaps than Hollywood Brown this past week. Of course, Hollywood Brown left the game with the boot, but the same amount of targets as Hollywood Brown across the past 2 weeks. Now, his average depth of targets really, you know, tiny. It's like 2.8. It's a lot of little dump offs, but he's got crazy yards after the catch ability, and he's just usable in so many different ways. And because the Cardinals kind of stink and because they're playing a lot from behind, they're having a lot of pass attempts, and that just, it ends up with targets, and targets are a point in, not targets, but catches are a point in PPR leagues. So, you know, like for instance, last night, Austin Eckler's game, it's not like he had like so many yards, but he had so many catches, and that adds up in a hurry in a PPR league. So I think Rondale Moore is somebody that we should put our bids in for, and everybody's like going wide-eyed for Robbie Anderson, but I think Rondale Moore might be the sneaky pickup.
Yeah, like I said before, Robbie Anderson to me is just the guy that can stretch the field. He's the guy who's going to run the streaks, but I think the players to have, and you don't have to really convince me too much because me and you are both in the Cardinals. I liked every Cardinals player coming in this fantasy season. I thought they're going to be a great team that you could, you know, use pretty much anyone. I definitely think Rondale Moore, I mean, he's a guy they drafted relatively high. They want to use him and, you know, as a gadget player too. I like Rondale Moore, and I think after Nuke, he's probably the guy you want the most. And Robbie is there just maybe for those long streak touchdowns here and there, but I don't see many games of Robbie Anderson having, you know, 7-8 catches. I think that's more of Rondale Moore in a PPR league. That's more of Rondale Moore's territory. Maybe you'll see Robbie Anderson catch like 2, 3, 4 footballs, but may get a touchdown, like a long 40-yard touchdown. That's kind of the difference.
You'll get a big play from Robbie Anderson now and then, but you won't know when to play it. Rondale Moore is going to give you a more solid floor. And also, bear in mind, there's a lot of injuries with that running back group, right?
That's the huge problem.
You know, Benjamin was in a smash spot this week, and it turned out that he really wasn't. You know, this is an area where Rondale Moore could excel. So
that's 100%. You hit the nail on the head. The Cardinals, I think that one of the major issues is why they're struggling as a team, is the lack of a running game. And the James Conner last year was scoring touchdowns like every other quarter. Right. That's not happening this year. And I think that's putting a lot of stress on Kyler, who is performing well, but the team as a whole is not. And I think they need to get the ground game going.
Yeah, they do need to get that ground game going. Okay, Kenny Pickett suffered a concussion. Mitch Trubisky came into the game. Mitch Trubisky actually looked really good all of a sudden. I don't know what they're going to do here. They say Kenny Pickett is the guy when he's back. He may start on Sunday. But when I look at this, Eddie, I look at it and I'm like, is there any Pittsburgh starter that I feel good about starting? I mean, I'll start him, I'll flex him, but I don't really feel good about it. Is it Deontay Johnson? Is it Najee? I mean, Najee saved his day with the touchdown, but as predicted, he went under his rushing yards prop, which I believe we talked about on this pod. I forget where I say things. I think we said it here. But anyway, his ground game limited with that O-line, and it was a tough matchup with the Bucs.
I'm so tired of the Steelers. I, like you mentioned, all the guys I have on some teams, Najee and Deontay and Pickens. It's just like, I don't feel good about starting any of them. I mean, Najee, you're kind of forced into starting because if you drafted him, you took him relatively high, and you have to, like you just said, he had a few catches. One was a touchdown. Great. So he has one receiving touchdown. He has one rushing touchdown. He's basically like his attempts is like equal to his yardage. He's not getting anything. He's not having big outbursts. Deontay Johnson, the receivers. It's the thing is like you have Pickett now may be able to play according to Mike Tomlin, but who knows with the concussions, with the league, how it's been going lately. Mitch has been up and down, looked okay, but early in the year was not. So you don't really trust the receivers. It's just, it's a mess, and somehow the Steelers are finding ways to win games and, you know, maybe even contend for this division, which is bizarre. But the NFL this year has been bizarre anyway, but the Steelers are a team, again, going into the season, there's a lot of pieces to like, and right now it's like you're being forced into starting, but you're getting the bare minimum from everyone.
Let's go to some good news.
Yes, please.
Dak Prescott is expected to return this week. I think not just Cowboys fans are excited about this. I mean, all props to Cooper Rush. You know, he finally had a game like we thought he might have, 3 picks on Sunday Night Football. We got kicked by the Eagles. It looked like we were really going to fight our way back. Our defense was clawing, and then it fell apart. So it's not too soon for Dak Prescott to come back, I hope. It is certainly a juicy matchup for your fantasy football teams. They've got Detroit, and that means you're starting Zeke, you're starting Pollard, you're starting Michael Gallup. I'm expecting Michael Gallup to finally have a good game now that Dak Prescott is back. CD Lamb hopefully will be back on track. Maybe or maybe not Dalton Schultz. He's injured, guys, right now. I don't really feel like you can start him unless you need to because of bye weeks. But I am very excited about Dak Prescott coming back. Cooper Rush did a great job managing the team and getting us wins, but he wasn't good for our fantasy team. So now we should hopefully, and I know Dak Prescott didn't look good in his first game, but you know, when you think back to that first week, did anybody, I mean, Patrick no. Mahomes and Josh Allen did, but Josh Allen still threw a couple picks.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. It was the Russ. I don't care about that game.
Yeah, I think it was Rusty. So welcome back, Dak Prescott. I hope you're going to be there on Sunday. I'm going to wear your jersey that was made for me by Hope, who sent one in. Thank you, listener Hope, who made me a custom Dak Prescott jersey. That was awesome. Thank you. Speaking of listeners, we did get a few questions for today's pod, and we are going to address them because they've been good. One of those questions – well, actually – let's wait a second on that, but we do have some good questions. We're going to get to them. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CAESARFULL, that's CAESARFULL, and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesar plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and older must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Boston, your city, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's first talk about Russ Wilson.
Okay.
Came out last night, looked fierce, was like 10 for 10, threw the touchdown. Obviously, there was some blown coverage there, but looking frisky, hitting all different receivers, and then comes back after halftime, looks like a shell of himself. Did finish with like one more fantasy point than Geno Smith, though, just in case anybody's keeping track for once. But just didn't look good, and then we get word this morning that he injured his hamstring. So he's been playing with a busted shoulder, a busted hamstring, and a busted head coach in a busted system with busted players in a busted Subway ad. And the only thing that wasn't busted was actually his outfit last night, because that was sweet.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah, he looked all right. It's Denver, and again, this is a theme. The NFL is just taking crazy pills this year, and so many different thoughts and statements like come out of watching all these Broncos games. By the way, like three more primetime or national Broncos games left, seven total for the NFL season. So, but you know, and I can't blame the schedule makers or the, you know, the people who make the decision of the TV networks or whatever.
If this was August,
we're like, hey, you can't wait for that Monday Night Football game between the Chargers and the Broncos. Little do we know, like, Chargers are super underwhelming, injured, and Broncos having just a litany of issues. I mean, you touched on all of them briefly. Like, Russ, when I first saw the hamstring injury news, I was like, nah, that's probably a way for them to be like, you know, that's why he wasn't playing well. It's probably not serious. But now they're saying it may actually be serious. So maybe something did happen in that game and he just kind of sucked it up and went out there and played. Because there have been flashes every week almost with Russ where you're like, he does look like the Russ of old and like, why isn't this working? And I'm like, maybe it is the loss of Javonte Williams. Maybe. And then I'm like questioning the receivers, like, is Jerry Jeudy maybe a bust? Like, usually these Alabama players convert. Is he not that great? Is Cortland Sullen not that great? Is the O-line clearly has issues? Nathaniel Hackett, I know other coaches do this, but maybe he shouldn't be head coach and calling plays.
Even I can see it. I'm like, okay, so they're going to run it, and then they're going to throw it. Mm-hmm. They're going to run it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's absurd. Like, literally, it's kindergarten flag football level calls. Like, I could do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a problem if I can do it. And what's up with Melvin Gordon? Did you see the Melvin Gordon video today? Mm-hmm. I mean, never thought that I could feel, like, empathy or he could be, like, an empathetic character at all, Melvin Gordon. I was like, he just looks so downtrodden and downcast. He just didn't understand. Like, he was just waiting for his number to get called. He didn't get called. He really thought he could help. He wasn't angry. He wasn't whatever. He was just dejected. And I feel like that's just the energy in that Denver room. It's just like dejection. Like, what is going on? It's terrible. And Latavius Murray really – so now everyone's going to go out and think, oh, do I go put big bids on Latavius Murray this weekend? My advice to you is no. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a lot of room and you can add him. But don't drop Melvin Gordon for Latavius Murray, because it could be Mike Boone next week. It could be Melvin Gordon next week. Who knows? You cannot trust this coaching staff. I'm even nervous to start Courtland Sutton at this point.
Yep. I know a couple of weeks back, you did a very good job of convincing me, because I was kind of off the Russ train, the Broncos train. You're like, no, there could be a couple good weeks going up there. And obviously a bunch of stuff happened to them. But like Melvin Gordon, I think – playing like the way, like, if anyone on the team would have a chip on their shoulder and wants to perform well, it's probably Melvin Gordon versus former team
versus Chargers.
And I know, I think, like you just said before, you know, first down run, second down run, if we know it, then the Chargers for sure know it, and every other team in the NFL knows that. And I think that makes life a lot harder for him when you're not getting play. Like, they're not pushing the ball in the field. The receivers aren't making plays. Russ isn't making plays. Russ can't move, obviously, if he has a hamstring injury. So, and yeah, Melvin Gordon has had his fumble issues. So I just don't get why he wasn't being used.
I'm sorry. Like, of all the times you're going to pull Melvin for another running back, you do it for Latavius Murray and not Javonte Williams.
Right.
We never did that in any of the previous games.
Yeah, it was an evil split.
It's such nonsense that I honestly want to give Melvin Gordon a hug.
I'm with you on that.
Melvin, if you're listening, I've got a hug for you.
I mean, quickly, I know we have other stuff to get to, but like this AFC West division, and I know the Chargers are above 500, but they're as underwhelming as can be. But everyone was like, man, this AFC West is going to be something. Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos, Chargers. It's like, I don't even want to watch the division. Besides, the Chiefs are going to run away.
Part of what we need to get to is Justin Herbert, because we did have a question, and it was a great question from Ben, our listener. And he's like, you know, what's up with Justin Herbert? Mm-hmm. Is this maybe an opportunity to buy low? And my answer is yes, it is an opportunity to buy low, though, because of the state of the quarterback position, I'm not sure anybody would be selling him, because who are you selling him for, right? Mm-hmm. It's just hard. I know he hasn't had, you know, his like last four games, he's only had more than 15 points in one of them. I think there are a lot of things that can explain that. First of all, major pieces of the O-line are missing. Three pieces of the O-line. He has a rib cartilage fracture. So now maybe this is because I'm a singer, but I like anytime there's like a rib situation, you can't breathe. It's not even just the pain. You also can't really breathe. If you can't really breathe well, the whole thing isn't as good. And you notice like he's just kind of dinking and dunking. Mm-hmm. He's not uncorking the cannon that he has. And maybe that's partially because they're kind of protecting him, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I get that. But maybe the best thing to do is let him rest fully for a week or two, just as a system. We talked about this already. But I don't see Justin Herbert stinking. He doesn't just stink all of a sudden. Yeah. I think Justin Herbert is going to have much better days ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, people are saying, well,
he's number one receiver.
If people, yeah, Keenan Allen's out. You said the O-line's had their fair share of issues. Obviously, losing Slater is, I mean, as devastating as could be. Then, you know, the rib thing, like, people have to understand, you know, fans of the Chargers, or if you have him on your team, you're starting him, like, just because he's playing does not mean he's healthy. There is no doubt in my mind that he is very injured. Like, it's going to hurt every throw.
Feeling if you're getting hit all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every throw more, and you said that too. Like, you'll see a couple, like, in my opinion, you know, there are some guys with some great arms in this league, but those, yeah, like, intermediate, like, just 15, 20 yard throws, like, he really smokes that ball in there. Like, he has a great arm and it's accurate. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it, we see it less and less now because of the injury. He did have a couple last night, but you're not seeing it as much because guess what? Every time he does it, it hurts. Not having big body Keenan Allen out there does sting for him. And, you know, Mike Williams really is up and down as could be. You know, Everett didn't do much of anything last night. So he's not getting the ton of help that he needs, and I guess Herbert, where he is right now on the per game basis, points per game basis for quarterbacks, is somewhat surprising. But like you said, it's such a weird marker right now for quarterbacks, and I wouldn't give up on him. They're only going to get better. He's only going to heal as time goes on if he doesn't like take any more shots to that rib cage. And I think with Keenan Allen back, he should look more like the Herbert of old.
I think so too. But yeah, this AFC West, to your point, is underwhelming.
There's no juice. It was supposed to be like every game is going to be awesome. All these teams are going to be over 500. It's like Chargers are underwhelming, and like the Broncos are a disaster. The Raiders are probably the most snake bit team in the league right now. And then you have the Chiefs just being where the Chiefs always are.
Yeah. And they lost to the Bills this week. And that was the best game of the week, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I really
That's the
that
title
game.
But I won't be convinced otherwise. That's the title game.
Should be.
Yeah.
It ought to be just like Yankees Astros.
Yeah.
They just started. Let's see what's going on. No, we won't chat. We're going to look away. Cam Akers is probably on the move. We had a question, or I had a question, about whether or not it might be a good idea to trade for Cam Akers. And this particular Corey sent me this question. Said, should I trade Nyheim Hines for Cam Akers? And I guess the answer to that is it depends on what kind of a player you are. I do think that Nyheim Hines' value is diminishing because of how good Deion Jackson, an undrafted free agent 2021 out of Duke, looked. He's like scored more points in his game than Jonathan Taylor like has done all season. Okay, maybe that's an exaggeration, but it's pretty close.
Yep.
He was targeted nonstop. They won the game. They looked good. Matt Ryan completed nearly 74% of his passes on Sunday. And Deion Jackson was one of the major changes, right? I'm not saying it was because of him, but it seems like maybe he should have some opportunity. Certainly, if you have the space to hold him as a handcuff, you need to have him. Do you think that Jonathan Taylor or Nyheim Hines will come back? It's not going to be like that kind of a situation every week, but he's clearly an important player to have. And now that I think that will eat into Nyheim Hines' value, maybe it's a big gamble. You don't know if Cam Akers is going to sign anywhere. And honestly, I think he may have other issues like health issues, head case issues, all that kind of stuff. But if you wanted to take a big shot, Nyheim Hines is not a big gamble to give up because I don't think he's the clear handcuff for Jonathan Taylor anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree with you on that. Definitely, he's not the clear handcuff anymore. The game that Jackson had, I was lucky enough to pick him up one of my squads, a phenomenal game. I mean, he's like, you love that when you pick up a guy and has a huge performance.
And I crushed it.
And like that's also right. with the Colts too. Dragging like a lot today. With well, no, we like we need somebody in this like somebody to do well because you look at me. I mean, I did okay in fantasy this week, but with my picks and everything, so I'm very very happy for you, Jen. But the Colts. Matt Ryan finally has a huge game, and then what does that mean? Oh, the running back also performs well. It's like, see people, when the quarterback performs well and life is easy for him, makes life easier for the running back too. The Colts are a team I have no feel for whatsoever. In terms of that trade, maybe I'm a sucker because I did draft Cam Akers in one of the leagues I do care about a lot, probably the most, and I kind of bought into him. I thought what he showed down the stretch run last year was great. He's a young back. I know he had overcome the injuries, but I think he could do a lot on the field for you, and I just think it's more of a – he needs a fresh start because it's not like this Rams offense is clicking week in, week out. They did lose pieces. You know, Andrew Orr was obviously left tackle. He retires. Like Stafford, maybe he wasn't right early on because the elbow, but if your name's not Cooper Kupp, you're really not performing for this team. So I just think, you know, the run game is not good. If Darrell Henderson was rushing for 100 a game, then I'd say, yeah, Cam Akers is the problem. But I still feel pretty good that he could go somewhere else and be closer to the Cam Akers that we thought we were going to get.
What about the idea? People have talked about Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. What about the idea that the Panthers get Cam Akers as part of the incoming?
I think, though, that offense is going to be so bad and it's just going to be always coming from behind that I don't think you're going to get a ton of value for Cam Akers. Like, if Cam Akers, like, his best case scenario was like, I mean, maybe the 49ers, maybe the Bills get him for cheap. A team like that, a team that could run the ball like the Niners can, a team that's going to have a lot of leads like the Bills will have, and you have a quarterback who you're going to be afraid of. I think if he's on a squad like that, then you'll really see Cam Akers shine because it's not all on him. If he goes to Carolina, let's just say, for argument's sake, Carolina trades away DJ Moore as well, and they're rotating out, you know, one of their quarterbacks, either, you know, it's going to be Walker or Darnold or Baker with an interim coach. Like, you know, I don't know about that. I wouldn't feel great about that.
Speaking of the Panthers, though, if you really need a deep, deep, deep league dart throw, you could put your bids in for Donta Foreman or probably pick him up for free. He's available in 95% of leagues because he is the next man up. Should Christian McCaffrey get moved? He's played more than double the snaps, had double the routes, double the carries of Chuba Hubbard. So he would be the guy. Again, not a great offense, but the state of the running back position is not great. So that's what we're talking about here, people. I want to go back to Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan is probably my top streaming quarterback for this week. We saw him 3 touchdowns. That's kind of been the problem with Matt Ryan this season, is like he's allergic, well, besides his completion rate and other stuff. But he seems to have been allergic to the end zone. Like, he can't get the touchdowns. He's had 3 games with over 300 yards, but he wasn't racking up the touchdowns. Well, this week, 389 yards, 3 touchdowns. He finished as the QB2 on the week. You go back and you look at the matchup. The Titans have allowed the 3rd most fantasy points to quarterbacks. And last time, just a couple weeks ago, when these two squared off, Matt Ryan threw for 356 and 2 touchdowns. So I like it. They faced off in week 4. Wasn't that long ago. I think Matt Ryan is very streamable. Other streamable quarterbacks, if you lost Carson Wentz, if you've got, I mean, we got top quarterbacks on bye this week, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins. You're going to need replacements, even Matt Stafford. So Matt Ryan, I like Daniel Jones. I do. He's looking better and better. He completed 71% of his passes last week versus the Ravens, and he's got Wan'Dale Robinson, which we'll talk about too. Jimmy Garoppolo has a great matchup. He's got Kansas City. They've allowed the 4th most points to opposing quarterbacks. And you know he's got the weapons. He's got Debo. He's got Ayuk. He's got George Kittle. He's pretty available. And then, of course, Tyler Heineke is someone, if you're desperate, you could plug in there. Marcus Mariota, Bailey Zappi, Justin Fields, also options.
Yeah, I was going to say the Zappi experiment seems to be going a lot better than I think people in New England thought, and they are playing the Bears. That's a game. I know the Pat Stevens has been great. They may stifle the Bears there, so I'd stay away from Fields. I do like Zappi in that one to score, and Mariota as well, too. They're another Falcons with a team I can't really figure out. It seems like they're kind of gelling. Mariota looks pretty solid, so yeah, I'm with you for sure. Like Matt Ryan, like I think he's almost ranked. I looked at some rankings, and he was in like the early teens. I think he's almost too low this week. I think he's going to have a really nice
just
game
for
again.
This week.
Yeah,
you're going to get big weeks. You're going to get bad weeks for Matt Ryan, but it feels like, you know, of course, a lot of times logic doesn't play out this year, but feels like this is the right week to start him. Let's talk about the Jets for a second. Their upset win. They are winning games with Zach Wilson. Unfortunately, they are not winning games for fantasy managers unless you got Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. So if you got Breece Hall, you're good to go. They have decided Breece Hall is the guy. He is a monster. He is exceeding expectations. I will admit I was too low on him coming into the season. But unfortunately, this is affecting the value of Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson. And I hate it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And I think, you know, Breece Hall right now, favorite to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I think he's going to have a fine rest of the season. I do, you know, they just played the Packers. Giants ran all over the Packers. Jets ran all over the Packers. Packers not a great rush defense. I think defenses will start to target and load the box and stop Breece Hall, which will force Zach Wilson to throw the ball. And look, Zach Wilson has a great arm. He is capable of that. And I saw, you know, I believe it was like Fab, I think, posted something too, like he wants Joe Flacco back because of that. And like, I understand that because you have these great weapons. The Jets have come pretty one-dimensional. And I think as the season goes, for the Jets to be as good as everyone thinks they could be, you need to see Zach Wilson have a couple big games and target more and target Garrett Wilson again. I think it's a matter of time until we see the Jets kind of have to, they're going to be forced into letting Zach Wilson win some games for them because defenses will smarten up and do everything they can to stop Breece Hall.
0-0, middle of the first. Mm-hmm. Nestor Cortez, no strikeouts, but he did allow one hit.
It's on right now. So.
All right.
I'm focused on the Jets offense right now.
I look at the time and I'm like, wow, I can't believe we've already spent this much time. And then I'm sorry that we spent 10 minutes on MLB because we have so much football to talk about. Okay, I'm going to speed up here. Travis Etienne, James Robinson, very interesting development here. They're actually still splitting carries. In fact, James Robinson had two more than Travis Etienne, and then Etienne had one more target. But Etienne seems to be the one with more juice, and he was technically listed as the starter. I do think this remains a committee throughout the season. But Etienne right now is the one more valuable for fantasy. This could change at any minute. But right now, James Robinson is no more than a flex play.
I was offered a trade for James Robinson in a league, and I denied it because I told my pal, I was like, listen, I know their carries are pretty equal, but Etienne's doing more as of late with his carries. And I think, you know, this season, James Robinson got out to the early lead. He looked like the better player. Me and you were pretty low on Travis Etienne. He was going too high in drafts. We thought the value of James Robinson was great. But now it seems like they're kind of leveling out in this race. And I think when it's all said and done in a few weeks, we'll be like, oh, yeah, Travis Etienne was the guy all along. It makes sense now, obviously, Trevor Lawrence pairing up with his buddy from Clemson. And I think, you know, it'll be less of an even committee and more of Travis Etienne's game. And James Robinson spots him.
Running back has been a pretty awful position all year. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for pickups on the waiver wire, probably my top pickup is actually Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
And it's just because of the matchup this week, and it's just for a short term. This is not a long-term solution, but J.K. Dobbins left early with knee problems. That's probably going to continue. It's not a good sign. Justice Hill still has the hammy injury. So if one or both of them are out again on Sunday, I like Drake, 119 yards, two catches and a score this week. And he's facing a defense that has allowed the fourth most points and the most rushing touchdowns to running backs. So the matchup with Cleveland is great. You know, looking ahead, I think it might be time to go ahead and put in some bids on Gus the Bus. He will be coming back. So if you want to get sneaky, if you have the room, you can go ahead and put, like we suggested, some bids in on Deion Jackson if he's available. Latavius Murray, if you have the room, don't drop Melvin Gordon for him yet. Brian Robinson still available in 50% of leagues. Daryl Henderson, again, most of these guys are probably not available. But if they are, you do want to go ahead and grab them.
Yep. I love the Drake this week, to quote Seinfeld. He was the reason why the Giants, if they were going to lose that game, it was going to be because of Kenyon Drake, not Lamar Jackson. He ran all over them, so I like him there too. And I am also, to tie it into the Ravens, I am a little weary about the Ravens offense the last few weeks. They had a squeak by, the field goal game versus the Bengals. And then, they lose to the Giants and Lamar's not looking great. Lamar's almost looking kind of like what the Justin Fields Bears offense is, where it's like he looks for the first read with the Ravens. It's usually Mark Andrews. And if he's not open, he's going to take off and run. But defense is kind of smarting up to that. And I think, you know, that's why Kenyon Drake was so effective. So I like him. But the Ravens are scaring me a tiny bit midseason.
I feel like they need a Rashad Bateman back too.
They do, badly.
I think that downfield threat was important, whether he was actually using him or not.
Yeah.
You know, I think they need Rashad Bateman back. It looks like he is on track to come back this week. I hope he does. I hope he has a good week because I need him. Because this is the most brutal week for wide receivers to be on bye. There's no Cooper Kupp. There's no Justin Jefferson. There's no Stephon Diggs. There's no Gabe Davis. This is brutal. There's no AJ Brown. There's no Devonta Smith. Guys, you are probably scraping on the waiver wires. So let me just go down a list of people I really like that you should be able to get. We'll get some, you know, we talked about Rondale Moore. He's a priority. Wandale Robinson, your guy, your Giant. I'll let you talk about him, but you know, first of all, I have to admit the Giants look good, right? They're a winning team. They have a better record than the Cowboys. They look good. Daniel Jones is looking good. He's looking smart. He's looking like a smart quarterback in his first game back since his week one injury. And he was only playing limited snaps, right? Because he was injured. Robinson caught 3 of his 4 targets for 37 yards and a touchdown. It's so much injury in New York. It just makes sense. I don't know how many times there's an opportunity to grab a potential wide receiver one off the waiver wire. Cause it's easy to grab that wide receiver too, right? Go get your Zay Jones, go get your Rondale Moores, et cetera. But I think Wandale Robinson has a legit chance to be a stud wide receiver one. And he's someone I would prioritize in waiver pickups this week.
I do. I like him a lot. You know, obviously him and Daniel Jones haven't had the most, you know, chemistry yet because of just the lack of having Wandale Robinson on the field. And, you know, obviously he's a rookie, but I think having a guy who it was a, you know, a gadget player in college coming in as like this more of the slot receiver. And I mentioned in a pod, I don't know when it was, a week or two ago, but I said like Daniel Jones just more comfortable as a quarterback with Darius Slayton in the lineup. And I think having Wandale now with, you know, two receivers who should be able to put up a lot better numbers than, you know, David Sills and Richie James together and Marcus Johnson, whoever else is trying to bring in there. So I think until, you know, Kadarius Toney comes back, Wandale Robinson should be a huge player for them. And, you know, the Giants schedule upcoming is very, very easy. A lot. I mean, they have the Texans, the Jags, the Lions. I know they have the Seahawks. I'm going to actually go into that game up in Seattle. So there's some winnable games there where the Giants should score some points. And you got to like what you saw, you know, from Wandale Robinson. Not a huge game, but he did, you know, he scored. And he had a couple catches in traffic, which you like. I know he's a small body, but I think he will be – he's necessary for the Giants. They need a talented receiver, and they finally have that.
Yeah. So put your bids in. A few more guys that you might want to consider for this week. Donovan Peoples-Jones has had an 84.3% snap share this year, which is actually more than Amari Cooper. He leads all Browns wide receivers. And in the past 3 games, he's had 4 more catches for 50 or more yards. And this week, they get the Baltimore Ravens, right? We know that secondary has been very generous. They've surrendered an average of 198.2 receiving yards per game to opposing wideouts while also allowing a league-leading 23.8 targets per game. So there's just opportunity. There could be opportunity for Cooper, Njoku, and Peoples-Jones this week. We shall see. Obviously, we still got Jacoby Brissett issues. But again, as I said, a wide receiver, really tough this week. So you want to get what you can. I want you to think about also Corey Davis, Treylon Burks, Alec Pierce, Devontae Parker, and Josh Reynolds, if they're available. They're people that you could stream this week. And consider Van Jefferson, who is quickly coming off the IR. Now, you can't use him for this week, but the Rams need him, right? I mean, we finally had an Allen Robinson signing this week, but I can easily see him surpassing Allen Robinson on the depth chart. He was the wide receiver 36 last season, operating as wide receiver 3 for the Rams. I could see him bumping up to wide receiver 2. And believe it or not, Stafford still has a 71.1% completion rate, which is only behind Geno Smith as far as quarterbacks that have started 4 or more games. So there's a lot of potential there if these Rams can get back on track for Van Jefferson to be someone that you want to have. And he's available everywhere.
They desperately need him. And yeah, he should be available. My only pushback is because if we've seen one team be super aggressive, it is the Rams. The Rams, they know how to circumvent the cap. They know how to trade draft picks and get players that will give them an impact in the here and now. And if there was a team that makes a move and goes after maybe a DJ Moore or someone like that, then that's the one reason why I'd be afraid of maybe the A-Rob or the Van Jefferson returning. But if they don't, which would be, I guess, un-Rams-like, then I think that he's a guy they desperately need to involve in the offense.
Well, I think that right now, because Van Jefferson is available in 95% of leagues and he's under the radar, if you have the room, he's a great stash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No reason not to stash him and get ahead of your competition. And it may pay off. You know, like we're going to burn and churn these benches, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to pick up guys. We're going to drop them off. We got to do what we got to do to win. But right now, he's somebody that you can be thinking ahead and stash him. It absolutely may not pan out. But if you can get him, he's someone to think about. Let's just wrap it up with the tight end position. Hunter Henry has been playing 98% of the snaps the last 2 weeks. As long as Jonnu Smith is dealing with an ankle injury, I think Hunter Henry is a very startable asset. He found the end zone this week, 61 yards and a score, 4 catches. He had 8 targets. He's had the same amount of targets as Jacoby Myers across the past 2 contests. So Hunter Henry is a good guy, available in 62% of leagues. Robert Tonyan. Mm-hmm. Robert Tonyan, best outing of the year on Sunday, caught 10 of 12 targets for 90 yards. Look, Green Bay's receivers can't get open. Randall Cobb is now out for a while. Tonyan may not pop every week, but he's got to go somewhere. This is what Aaron Rodgers has to do. And Tonyan is someone with a lot of upside. He's available in about 60% of leagues.
I'll pat myself on the back. I did draft Dalton Schultz in a few leagues. So what that meant was in a few leagues, I need to find, do I go either Ferguson or do I go Hendershot? I went with Ferguson, got the touchdown. I know they're playing the Lions this week. I believe they give 7th or 8th most points to tight end. And you know, with that coming back too, I am excited to see that. Another guy, we talk about the Giants a lot, but Daniel Bellinger. I mean, who knew that Bellinger playing meaningful football in October would be Daniel, not Cody, which is interesting. But Daniel Jones seems to like him, the rookie making an impact, which they need. He may give you a touchdown. He does look for them in the red zone, but he'll at least give you somewhere in the 3 to 5 catch range. You'll get some yards because they are designing plays to him. So he's another guy, if you could pick him up, I do like him in the next few weeks.
Bellinger's available in 98% of leagues. He caught 5 of his targets. He was 5 for 5 for 38 in a touchdown Sunday. But here's what's really interesting that people may not realize. His 88.2% catch rate mm-hmm. is the best of all Giants receivers, and he's averaging 8.18 yards per target. So I do like Daniel Bellinger as a streamable asset. And then, of course, Greg Dulcich, who we saw.
Touchdown.
Last night, and who took Albert O's job, apparently. I don't know.
Also, quick Broncos update. Just came out on Twitter. Russell Wilson just day-to-day with the hamstring. So that whole series injury thing that we thought may have happened, that he continued in the game like a warrior. That is not what happened. Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I mean, these old quarterbacks, I love them, but poor Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady's chewing out his O-line on the sideline. Apparently, he's saying that going into football season is like going into the middle. What happened? Did Aaron Civale do Aaron Civale things?
He got 2 guys on, and Giancarlo Stanton, 3-run home run.
We need to get over 7.5, and we need a Yankees win because, let's be real, we need the Yankees versus Astros in prime time. We need that tomorrow night. Obviously, I'm rooting for the Astros. You're rooting for the Yankees. We will discuss this. I'm sorry if the Yankees move on. There will be more baseball talk on this pod. I won't be able to avoid it. And probably some trash talk too. Stanton homered on a live drive to right center field. And it was because Aaron Civale walked the leadoff runner. And then he also hit
Rizzo. Yeah. He hit Rizzo in the
Rizzo
leg.
With a pitch.
Yeah. And Judge did strike out.
Aaron Civale is the gift that keeps on giving. We targeted him all year in DFS. If you followed any of my DFS MLB players, and he continues to give, and this time he gives to the Yankees. That being said, this game is not over because the Yankees bullpen is a bit of a mess, and there's a lot more baseball to have. It's only bottom of the first, but the over bet is looking good. All right, I'm going to stop talking about baseball. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break. But before we wrap up, I want to talk about Thursday night football mm-hmm. And see if you have any bets you like and just talk about the landscape. So we talked a little bit about Arizona earlier. They'll be on a short week this week, so we may see a 4-day-old Robbie Anderson. We will see DeAndre Hopkins. Someone wrote into us, and we'll grab those questions too before we leave. Should I start DeAndre Hopkins this week? My answer is yes. The wide receiver situation is terrible. Hollywood Brown is gone. Kyler Murray and Hopkins have played together before. I would start DeAndre Hopkins this week. Absolutely. You've held him this long. This is what you're holding him for. New Orleans is all beat up in the secondary, allowing all kinds of points to opposing quarterbacks. 7 touchdowns over the past 3 games to quarterbacks. And that means Kyler Murray could be in for a good day. And there's no Marshawn Lattimore either, probably.
Right. look, all of our listeners and people who follow us, they can call me an idiot. And if there ever is a year to buy into a team that is not one of the usual suspects, like why I picked the Cardinals, this is the year because of the strange parody, whatever's going on in the NFL. I'm not going to shy away or back off my pick. I'm still going to ride with the Cardinals. And I said all along, the Cardinals take off when Nuke Hopkins returns. Nuke Hopkins is returning. They do get Robbie Anderson, who can stretch the field, which we talked about. Kyler Murray is playing well, like you cited. I know there's a lot of other issues, but I'm not backing away from this team. I can't trust the Saints. I know they have their own quarterback issues. They have a ton of injury issues across the board. I mean, all their receivers are always constantly banged up. The Cardinals desperately need this game, and what we also desperately need is an actual watchable Thursday Night Football game just for Al Michaels and Herbie's sake. But the Cardinals, they're at prime time. Everyone's going to be viewing them. They need to have please just give me 35-plus points. Like, show me that you're a legitimately good team. And I think in terms of starting Nuke Hopkins, absolutely, he's going to massive game right off the bat. Like, they just need to feed him the ball, let him do the work. He's one of the best receivers in football. I do like the Cardinals in this game.
There aren't a lot of player props up, but the one that I like that's posted so far is Alvin Kamara over 33.5 receiving yards.
Yeah.
And it's basically because the Saints are going to be yet again, most likely, without Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry. Mm-hmm. Now, Chris Olave hopefully back, sure. But even still, there's plenty of opportunity for Kamara. He's actually only exceeded this prop once this season, but he hasn't really been healthy until the past 2 weeks. And he's seen 15 targets across the past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And for their part, the Arizona Cardinals have allowed 7.76 yards per target. That's the most in the NFL, and an 84% catch rate to opposing running backs. So this should be a good week for Alvin Kamara to go over his receiving yard park. I know Ben is going to like that. Do you want to grab a couple questions? I know we have one or two that we can grab on for the last minute of the pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. We got a trade question coming in from at CFC Romo. It's Mahomes and Travis Etienne for Mike Evans and Jared Goff. It would mean he would get Goff and Evans in return for trading away Mahomes and Etienne. Would you do that?
No way.
Yeah, I couldn't answer
Mahomes
that.
Is a solid quarterback, and right now it's so sketchy. Jared Goff has been good and playing from behind, but you can't take that downgrade. You need someone solid. And Mike Evans, I love him, but all of a sudden Chris Godwin is back, and Chris Godwin has been playing more snaps and running more routes.
Yeah, also, Mike Evans has been one of the most consistent receivers in football for the last number of years, but we talked about a lot of the theme of today's episode. So it was like these veteran quarterbacks kind of struggling. It's like, do you really trust Tom Brady, who looks like he is the most miserable man on the face mm-hmm. of the earth?
And ETN's getting better and better.
On the incline, exactly. We got another question coming in here from Victory09. Do I sell high on Juju and Michael Pittman Jr., or is this the beginning of something good for them this year?
I would not sell high on Michael Pittman Jr. I think he's the clear wide receiver one there. He's a target hog. I would keep him. Juju, on the other hand, maybe, because I think Juju's going to have huge weeks where he pops off, but he's not like the guy. He's not Tyreek Hill. So if somebody really, really wants Juju and you can get something appropriate for him, yeah, I would sell Juju.
And I know we answered the questions from our pal Ben Kelly. I think I'm scrolling through everything. I think that's almost everything. We got all the Twitter questions.
Yeah, because I inserted some of them.
Yeah, you got some. I think we got to all of them there. So yeah, thanks again. Keep at Extra Points Pod, at Jen Piacenti, at that Eddie Murphy, or you have to write in on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, any of that jazz. We'll find your question and answer on the pod.
Everybody, I promise that we're only going to be talking MLB for just a couple more weeks, but we have two dogs in the race here.
Long,
so.
Hey, knock on wood, long game. It's only the first inning, 3-0, 3-0. A lot of baseball.
Yeah. So we've got some baseball that will pop in here and there. If you're a Yankees fan, good luck. If you're a Guardians fan, good luck. They have been a fantastic team all year, really fun, and a really great organization to be respected with the way they assembled their team. Sure. And interesting rookie and young talent. Very cool. So we will see what happens. I'm sure we'll talk about that next week. It has been phenomenal episode with you again, Eddie. Always so much fun. Everybody, if you have a question, you can be sure to tweet us at Extra Points Pod, at Jen Piacenti, at that Eddie Murphy. We do want this podcast to answer your questions, your concerns. We are always open to your questions, suggestions, and ideas. This is a podcast for the people, by the people. You've been listening to Waiver Wired on Extra Points Podcast Network and Omaha Productions. We'll be right back.